I know grief. I know the grief of loss, a loss that arrives for us all. Death. I remember when my dad died. It was a beautiful time. Us kids had all returned to the family home in the days leading up to his passing, as adults sleeping on the floor of the lounge room, the floor that we had laid on, played on, and fought on watching TV every night. Never then could we have imagined our return to it as adults with kids of our own. That floor felt harder as we slept on it between our rotating shifts through the night, sitting with our dying father, reading the Bible to him with a steady voice that disguised the pain of hearing his laboured breathing. I say it was a beautiful time because we were there together and on our terms in our family home, a place of safety and comfort and most importantly, a place of belonging. On the night he passed, we all said goodbye and we laid his bed next to Mum's. We told him he could go. We left the room and within minutes he left us. We felt him go, and strangely we felt an overwhelming sense of love and peace wash over our home. We sat up and told stories about him as he lay there. We laughed and cried over memories of a man whose body was before us. It was a beautiful time. We were relieved he is no longer in pain. We were grateful for the gift of a father that loved us and provided for us, and felt fortunate to have had him live to the age of 62 years. We knew as an Aboriginal man he had already cheated death in his living. While Dad's death was something that was peaceful and beautiful, the grieving was something different. I remember the weeks after his funeral when we were required to return to a world that had decided it was time to move on, insisting that we pick up the usual pace. I remember being angry that the world had seemed to have forgotten him, or at least our loss of him. I was resentful at the unspoken expectations that 14 days was sufficient enough time for getting over grief and that I should return to all the insignificant shit I'd been given a free pass on. But eventually I did. I learnt how to live without my dad as though that was a normal fact of life. And aside from some waves of grief that hit every now and again, in the most random and mundane moments, for the most part my life is good, even having lost him. Maybe it is in the acceptance that all life must come to an end that I was able to move on from my grief. But there's another grief of loss that I struggle to live with, even though, and perhaps because, I am required to accept it as a normal fact of life. It is the grief of loss visited upon blackfellas. You see, settler colonialism offers a whole different kind of grief. Grief from a loss not only of loved ones, but of land and entire way of living. It is a suffocating loss, an unjust, traumatic kind of loss, because of how violently it is visited upon us. Settler colonialism represents a never-ending kind of loss because the settlers are never ever going home. In our grief, we cannot return to our home that we once knew for the same sense of belonging, and any sense of gratitude in our grieving too. It's unimaginable. Settler colonialism generates a grief that is unrelenting because the loss itself is repeated. Each new policy era heralds a new articulation of black dispossession for a new generation, dressed up as benevolence or worse, reconciliation. Our grief neither heals nor leaves. It accrues, accumulating like interest, though no one is getting paid. There is no will, no assets to speak of because the rent was never paid. Each generation instead is straddled with a greater debt, a greater burden of a greater grief, of a greater loss. It is in its everydayness that we are afforded no grace periods, no grieving time, not even a 14 days. Kids to school, parents to work, and safer communities has been the mantra of the state for at least a decade now. A policy articulation of the everyday racist assertion of get over it. And all this time, they haven't closed gaps. They've simply tracked our deaths. They've walked over bridges, not to reconcile, but to move us on from their shameful deeds. But their shame is our grief, and their presence marks our loss. Every day. When settlers talk of grief, of course they can speak of stages, stages that suggest grief can be marked by progress in its processing. Yet the loss that settler colonialism rationalises and reproduces means there can never be a funeral, no burial to speak of, because there is no finality to that loss. Instead, we are forced to live a life that insists upon forgetting, forgetting the constant grief we are in and forgetting we were ever here in the first place. Settler colonialism insists upon living as though our loss, our demise as a people, was predestined, a part of the natural order of things. We were, they claimed, a dying race. As such, the grief that is typically bound to a loss such as death finds itself desperately trying to attach itself to our living, defining our very existence. Living in loss and the supposed naturalness of the imminence of Black Death as ongoing and ever-present is the violence of settler colonialism, a project that is not complete until we as a people are no longer. But while our people may pass, often prematurely and unjustly, we as a people refuse to die out. And that is the most beautiful thing of all.